Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another Black Opinions Matter motherfucker episode. My name is Amin L. Hassan. I'm joined by Big Jerv at Black Trade. Today we got a real, I'm going to say a light, but also a thick lineup today, because we only got two topics, but we go deep in these two motherfuckers right here. We're going to talk about Patrice O'Neill documentary that came out on Comedy Central. It's called Killing is Easy. It really meant a lot to a lot of my comedian friends, and I watched it, and I would say I urge you all guys to watch it as well. But first, we get to episodes 3 and 4 of Hip Hop Uncovered. We started watching this on Hulu last week. We watched the first two episodes. Now, the next two episodes are out, and guys, it gets more and more interesting as it goes along. Let's bring in the boys. Let's talk about this. Yo, Rob.
Yo, Amin.
What's the biggest complaint I always have whenever we record these podcasts?
Besides Jerv being too sleepy, I think it's you forget to name a couple things. You always want to talk about some extra stuff.
Oh, man. It's the worst feeling in the world. when we get done and we say cut and I'm sending the files to Rob and I say, shit, I forgot we were going to talk about this topic or that topic. Well, guess what? We're not going to have those problems anymore. If you go ahead and download the Stereo app. That's right. Go to stereo.com/Darth Amin and make sure you are linked and subscribed to us. And we're going to talk about all of the different things that I always forget about. This is a great app. Every time you guys are listening to this pod, you say, oh, I wish I could chime in. But you're listening to a pod. You can never chime in. It's pre-recorded. Guess what? With Stereo, you're able to have your voice heard. You can ask real-time questions about either the pod episode we recorded or whatever we're talking about at the time. It's great. It's a forum for you to listen to your favorite podcasters. That'll be me and yours truly, all at the Count the Things Network. And we're going to be out here. We're going to do this regularly, multiple times a week. Just hop on Stereo, download the app, subscribe, follow Darth Amin, follow Talk Hoops, follow Trayvon, follow Big Waz, all of us. You know who we are. You search for us on the Stereo app, you will find us and subscribe to us and be a part of these conversations real time. Have the ability to ask the questions that you want to ask. Stop us when we're on some bullshit, as we are frequently. And of course, catch some content that goes above and beyond what you listen to in the podcast you already love. Again, that is the Stereo app. You can follow me, stereo.com/Darth Amin. You can look up everybody else by their handles. Their handles are all the same as what we have on social media. You can join us multiple times a week. I love Stereo. I'm on the app talking all the time. Follow me and get notified every time I go live.
First of all, let me just say something. I didn't realize that motherfucking Pop just went at him like that. And
bro, we were just listening to the album. How you not know about Against All Odds?
You don't be listening to this shit. No. You know what it is, bro. Like it's like you ever. It's like one of them things where it's like you know, like you go to, you might be about to go shop for a car, right? And you're like, damn, I like that car. And then all of a sudden, you realize that that car is everywhere on
everywhere.
The fucking
road. Yeah, everywhere. I know what you're talking about, Jerv.
So that, Jerv, that's kind of like.
I know what you're talking about. Jerv, I know what you're talking about. But at the same time, Trey is right, man. Like that. That was one of the most, I remember in 96 hearing that line and being like, I didn't know who Haitian Jack was, but
that's
I was like,
how I knew who Haitian Jack was because of that album. I wouldn't have never knew that nigga.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
It's still like, wild to me that this nigga is out here rocking this ascot. Again, I don't mean any disrespect, but this man is rocking this fucking ascot like, and he's the fucking boogeyman.
Boogeyman wears an ascot, man. But but seriously though, like I texted the chat this while I was watching it earlier today. And by the way, happy Margarita Day, you motherfuckers.
Is it?
It's happy National Margarita Day. Goddamn right it is.
It's always some fucking day. Tomorrow is like happy tie your shoe with your left hand day. Shout out to everybody.
You know what though, Jerv? That sounds a hell of a lot more fucking lame than Happy Margarita Day. So we're going to support and celebrate the cool ones, and we're going to say fuck you to the lame ones. But having said that, obviously, parts 3 and 4 of Hip Hop Uncovered are out on Hulu. They came out on Friday. We talked about episodes 1 and 2 with Waz and with Justin Tinsley last week. Justin Tinsley sat here and snitched and ratted out and wholesale... just spoiled everything in it, but somehow I managed to erase my memory and watch them again. And 2 great episodes again. I like how we really got, you know, the first couple episodes seemed to like bounce around a lot, and these two sat with just like, we're gonna talk about this for a while, we're gonna talk about that for a while. And you know what I learned, guys? Honestly, it's kind of weird and I feel dumb. I always knew there was a gang element and the crime element behind hip hop, behind a lot of these record labels and artists. I never knew, it's going to sound stupid, I never knew the extent to which all the violence that happened in the 90s was directly tied to that shit. Not on some, hey, niggas got into a beef, and of course, when you're dealing with drug niggas, niggas are going to shoot. No, on some, like, this whole shit was all behind the scenes shit. Everything.
Big L, right?
All of it.
I had no idea. And I guess it's probably just like, I'm with you on that. My ignorance to just who all these people were. Cause I didn't know, and you know, all due respect to every single person in this series, but I had no idea the level that some of these individuals really had in the game. And then when they put that flash, it was Big L. Well, you know, they went Biggie Pac, Big mm-hmm. L. Who was the other person? God damn, whoever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was just saying, I was just like, oh shit, this makes. Yeah. I mean, I guess it makes sense, right? Like, not that it's
when they did the whole thing about old boy getting shot at JD's birthday party, and then the retaliation happening here, and then Pac killing being a retaliation to that, and then Big killing being a retaliation to that, and I was like. Our dumbasses sat there in the 90s thinking it's because of records. Because what niggas sit on wax, it had nothing to do with that. Them niggas could have been singing about love, peace, and happiness, and they still would have got their ass shot.
But to be fair, I told y'all this like a year or two ago about
you
that.
You did, but
around the
but Trey, I'm gonna be honest.
I just left out the first death because if you think about it, if you go down the line, my uncle got shot in 95 following that. All in the mix. And as Dre mentioned, 23 people died. 7 of my family members were murdered in that
situation. I was about to say, Trey, like, damn. That's some shit you might want to share. Like, I was like, what?
I mean, like I said, I'm numb to it in this situation. And it was just a reflection of the situation. But like, yeah, my uncle was a bodyguard for Death Row. Obviously, with Jay dying and ATL started it all up.
Right.
And then Puffy and Suge getting into a Scream Fest. And him actually hiring some Southside Compton Crips.
Now, Trey, I got a bunch of questions, man. I'm going to be honest with you. First and foremost, you mentioned the screaming match. A couple of people talked about it, that Puff and Suge had a tension between them, and it kind of came to a peak at that party. And then they mentioned Wolf, and then they mentioned this dude got shot. I don't want you to get in trouble, but like connect the dots for me. Was them shits related?
I mean,
or them niggas like just saying that shit happened and they just assume.
Nah. So what happened was you got Suge Muscle and you got Puff Muscle.
Right.
Puff Muscle felt like, you know, the disrespect was too loud and it was a retaliation in the situation. I'll put it as nice as that is. And then, you know, coming back home and the kite being sent back home, obviously, which they showed my man from Campanella Park, say, okay, you need to go get such and such because he's been killed out here in Atlanta. And then from there, you go into the association of already heated battles. This is non-internet, so it's word of mouth, it's street shit. And you come back and it says, okay, well, it's a dude wearing a Death Row chain who was a part of the camp. It used to be heavy affiliated. So it wasn't just rappers and shit like that. It was the mob Pyru that was always around Suge and Death Row. So one of the dudes was at a mall and he got jumped by some Southside Crips and they took his chain. And when they took the Death Row chain, it was like, aha, we got your chain. And it happened to be a hired member from Bad Boy who was part of the Southside Compton Crips.
But he was doing this shit as a Southside Compton Crip, not as an emissary for Bad Boy, right?
Nah, like it was just more so Southside embodied Bad Boy. Like, okay, well, if the mob is that, these are two Compton hoods that are getting money, major money in the city. And the main guy that they mentioned, rest in peace, Orlando Anderson, right, is the guy who... which they finally came out and said that shot Tupac because of some street shit. Now, I've told, you know, plenty of times on the pod that the whole city of Compton knew
who killed Tupac. Yeah. It wasn't
But it's just not that situation for you to be talking street stuff loosely. That's, you know what I'm saying? Because it gets bigger.
But Trey, honestly, that was the part that, well, like, for me was I didn't know that initial, because we had never, you have absolutely mentioned that about Orlando Anderson in the past. We've talked about it with Tinsley. We've talked about it a bunch of times on this thing.
I left out other names, but
there was an initial thing that set the whole thing off, and that's what they talked about in this doc. That I didn't know about that. The other thing was, and we might have talked about this, so forgive me if I'm having some amnesia here, but what kind of weird ass tension is it where Snoop and Corrupt are wearing blue and Death Row is run by a red dude? Like, that's gotta be weird. No, because I didn't know. Jerv, did you know this? I didn't know Corrupt was that into it. I thought he was, like, I grew up around these guys. I didn't know. They would say, like, Corrupt was the first one who's straight up rolling 60s. I had no idea.
So when you guys get a chance and we end the recording, I want you to go back and look at Streets as the Mother album cover, right? He is wearing khakis, blue Chucks, Dodger jacket, and a Dodger hat, right? And throughout that album, he is openly on wax saying he's from 60s Crip. Now, everybody knows that he's originally from Philadelphia, and he ended up getting out here because he was cutting up and got sent out to California, which was supposed to help because most people from the East Coast or Midwest send their kids to California because they think it's a good life. Because it's good weather. You know what I mean?
Y'all got front lawns and fucking houses and
all that stuff. Well,
they out here like working out in their front yard. Like, tell me it's not a good life.
But he happens to fall into Big U's backyard. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, this kid has potential. You know what? Don't do anything. But Corrupt, obviously, the same thing Tupac was when Tupac got around the mob. You think about it. He was in the Oakland, and then he kind of ventured down. And by the time he got out in those 9 months, bruh, like the same way how Haitian Jack said he embodied, he was a character the entire time. So if he's like, oh, I want to be a great podcaster, he would learn you and then go on about that way. So when my uncle was bringing them to Compton and he was hanging out with the Watts niggas and all that, he just embodied it. And Suge be like, yo, I don't want you going to Compton. And he would just go on his own and be blood this, blood that. And Suge like, hey, pump the brakes. Because you don't know. But like, he wanted to prove that, you know what I mean? Like, but you also got to think about that. This dude is 23, 24 years old at the time and looking for identity issues, right? In the situation, right? Trust issues, has been shot before, he's fascinated with the lifestyle. That's anybody that comes to like the city and they're like, oh man, take me here. You know what I'm saying? I want to be around this. So in his situation, he's buying all in. So he thinking like, okay, if they got my back, I got the homies back. And in that particular situation, they spotted Orlando in Vegas at the Tyson fight. And Pac said, let me at him. Instead of protecting the money and saying, go to your room or go this way, Tupac bombs on fucking Orlando to start it all off.
Right.
He takes off first, and that's where bomb first comes from, right?
Oh, shit.
He bombed first. And then after that, they just had to fucking follow Jerv suit. Follow after things, that.
By the way,
this shit's fucking crazy.
Y'all are listening. Y'all can't see it. If you're on YouTube, you can see Jerv's face. But if you're not on YouTube, you listen to this on podcast format.
Wait, bomb first was about that?
I just saw Jerv's face.
So when he did that, when he punched him and leaned into the punch, everybody pulled Tupac back. Like, okay, get him out of here. But then they start stumping Orlando out. Now, code of the streets, anybody get embarrassed like that, the retaliation is going to be as strong as possible. And he took matters in his own hands. And, you know, we knew the final results in 96.
So hold on. Wait. Run this back for me, though, because there's no way in hell I'm not Brian, but I do consider myself somebody like I feel like I'm in the mix. Right. I lived it to a degree as much as I could as a dude from Philly. You try to tell me,
but I say you lived it also from a non-internet era,
and I was super young.
But I'm just saying, and it not getting to like the East Coast like that. Like it's still people like we talked on a pod. He was like, "Oh damn, you actually know the dude who killed Tupac?"
Yeah,
because my cousin killed the dude. and they had a shootout and they died. Both of them died together. You know what I'm saying? They had a shootout at the car wash.
But hold on. Bomb First was it the, so you're telling me Bomb First is just the term or the song Bomb First?
It's the term, but like,
okay, but that wasn't a diss track.
Nah, it wasn't a diss track. He was gone already because this happened prior to
album. Oh yeah, you're right. That makes sense.
Yeah, because that was the same thing with Haitian Jack saying, like, look, if he would have survived, he would have had to holler at me before this, because going on wax and saying I'm a rat, or you know what I mean, I'm a reputable street dude.
Yeah, yo, that's crazy.
You can't say that. You can't just throw shit like that out there. Nah. That is dangerous. But yo, let's talk about Haitian Jack for a second, because when that nigga said people want to defend Tupac, you didn't know Tupac. Because Tupac ain't even know who Tupac was. He said, Pac had the right name, Tupac, because it was two of them niggas. I was like, yo, like, this is the shit. Like, honestly, niggas like me and Waz been saying shit like this for years. But it's a little different when it's a nigga that was, like, there, on the scene, lived that shit, knew that nigga. For him to basically tear him apart, and I know Tinsley came on last week and let us know that Birdie character on Above the Rim was loosely based on Haitian Jack. But for instance, the idea that the whole reason that Pac got to know Madonna was because Haitian Jack was hitting that first? Oh my God.
And she didn't fuck with Pac like that because Pac wasn't real.
Because she found out that Pac was a studio gangster. Basically.
She met the other guy.
She met the original, and she saw you as a Xerox. That's basically what he was saying. And I get it. Niggas will embellish things to make themselves look good, especially if the nigga who could refute it is dead. But still, God damn it.
This hurts my heart, man. It hurts my heart. But I kind of knew.
I've never heard anyone talk that, like, direct on wax about the nigga.
Yeah, on wax. You know what I mean? And he has the reputable, obviously. Because when you see the movie, right? You've seen Tupac, the movie, right? Or no, you've never seen it?
The terrible one, Resurrection or whatever it's called?
Yeah, the bad one.
Yeah, I refuse to watch that.
Not the Resurrection, but just the actual movie. But they have Haitian Jack in there as a character, and they portray him a certain way. So it hints off a little bit, but it doesn't give his tone of voice to kind of dispute. Because you could tell, like, obviously, in the movie, they always made it serious about Pac and flashy things and how easy marveled he got. Like, he gets so distracted. Niggas be like, oh, we're going to give you a house and a Rolex. And the Rolex was the biggest thing. So when Haitian Jack gave him his first Rolex, it was like, nigga, what is this? And then for the whole shit of like, oh, you put me on some fly shit. You a fly nigga, Versace, da da da. And he's showing him this way. But then when all the shit happened.
Do you realize that shit? I thought that was because Big was doing that shit first.
But remember, Pac said Big got that from him.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it.
Big called Pac when they met.
He said, "Don't fuck with that nigga. Picture.
Don't fuck with him."
And he said, "That nigga right there, don't fuck with him."
He ain't listen.
I mean, you in too deep after that point.
Nah, I mean, I feel like everybody kind of, as soon as they saw Pac with him, kind of was like, yo, you got to chill, bro. Like everybody.
I'm going to tell you the real shit.
That's like me moving to this city. And I mean, like, yo, I know you in the city. I know you in Bed-Stuy, bro. But it's that nigga right there. Don't fuck with him. I'm like, no. He cool, though. He lit. Like, trust me. Like, I fuck with him. And it means like, trust me.
Trey, I'm going to tell you this. The shit that really hit home to me, what kind of nigga Haitian Jack was, and obviously you heard the stories over the years, but that's when I really, oh shit, yeah, this, when the nigga was talking about Jimmy Cozier coming up to him, said, let me hear this track, and oh, I wrote this, and they said, who did I sing? He's like, me, like, what? And he goes straight to Clef, and Clef, hear this, and Clef says, yeah, who's this singing? He's like, that's Jimmy. No, that ain't Jimmy. And they go to Clive Davis, and Clive Davis signs that nigga on the spot, and he said, I felt so much pride, I'm legitimate, da da da. And he said, but then I thought about, man, I used to get $1 million up a lick. I'm like, what? This nigga's sitting out here reminiscing about like, but I still miss it. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Also, to be a stick-up kid that gets seven figures at a time?
So let me...
that's got to be embellishment. I don't... you hit the stash house for a mil and you still alive? I just don't see how that happens.
So let me ask you this, because again, I'm the Philly dude, right? So like, I mean, if you want to, if somehow, some way they do something on BMF and, you know, and all that shit, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, Junior Black Mafia and all that, like, all right, you know, I'm from here. I've heard the rumblings and all that shit. With Haitian Jack, was he just a stick up person, or was he, did he have like a hood or shit allegedly like Preem did?
He was
all hands on deck.
So it was, he's okay. He just always put that work in. Oh, he's Omar.
He's an Omar type. Yeah.
Got you.
I knew he was a stick up. I didn't know, like, honestly, this is going to sound dumb again. I didn't know you could be a stick up kid on that level. I thought like it only rises to like some street shit. Like, I didn't
know, like, eventually
that nigga was knocking off. Like, what? Like, you know how many people you got to take out in order to walk away with that kind of bounty off a stick up? Nah, man.
Yeah. And your name has to be buzzing in the streets, just like, in, you know, just like Omar by season. Yeah.
But think about the work he was putting in, though. Overall, think about all the work.
Smoke.
Like, for you to be feared, for you to be loved. For you to be enamored, like nigga Dallas Austin leaving the recording studio, bro, to greet him, bro.
With Madonna.
Pulling up in his.
With Madonna. With
Madonna, they leave. And Madonna like, who is this nigga? And they like, yeah, and they getting off the bar like, look, Madonna, you live in New York and you don't know Jack? Oh, you don't know nobody. That's a bar.
Yo.
That is a bar. By the way,
that wasn't a one line that Trey just said there. It was like a conversation. She's like, yo, you from New York, right? You know Jack. And she was like, no. And these niggas shit on Madonna. But not knowing this fucking hood ass dude who sticks up.
I like how Spliff Star was the voice of reason.
Oh,
like,
Spliff Star came in and rebutted the shit out of Tupac's account. He's like, no, I know that nigga. I can say what that nigga's not no snitch ass nigga.
Yo, is it me? And no disrespect to Spliff, but is it me? Or was Spliff the only one that looked like it was still the 90s?
He did.
He had like the seven X leather jacket on with the hoodie on. He had the ill backdrop, like out of New Jack City or some shit.
Yeah, man. No, he was
son living in time zone like Iverson.
Yo, shout out to him though, man. I want to be one of them niggas that like maintains a bubble around me. Y'all heard the new.
I love it. Shouts to Bimmy too, though, man. Bimmy.
Oh, his shit.
Bimmy got bailed out by fucking Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston. That's killer.
That is killer. That is absolutely killer. With Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston put this nigga Bimmy, man, like he is everyone's best friend. He's everybody's best friend. And it's pretty fucking amazing.
I like how Bimmy came up with the GOAT.
I know. Like, yo, that's crazy. How about that? Like, we've been like all this time. You know, people use the term GOAT all the time. Tom Brady's a GOAT. LeBron's a GOAT. And people, to the point where people say multiple GOATs. Oh, they're all GOATs. Like, no, greatest of all time means is one. Like, they're all GOATs, whatever. But it's like, this term started from this nigga right here, which is crazy, man.
On a fucking plane.
But, like, the thing about Bimmy that was, I found very interesting and relatable even, was that, you know, all three of us have operated in an industry that not necessarily like is welcoming to us, right? And I'm not saying any of us have been Bimmy, but also it is an adjustment. I know when he was talking about how Kevin Lyles and old girl Tina did him, and he said, I'm from a place where if I don't like you, I tell you I don't like you. And we figure it that way. And these motherfuckers were like, they're smiling your face and then they backstab you like the song goes. And I was like, yo, most of this shit I'm watching, I'm like, this is amazing. I'm learning. I feel like Jervin 10 minutes ago. My face is just, oh my God, is that how that happened? Whatever. But that was the first time I was like, that's the shit that happened to me, man. Real fucking talk. Where I walked around ESPN telling people, and before that, when I was with the Suns, telling people this shit ain't right. That motherfucker don't know what he's doing. I don't agree with this shit. And that shit hurt me, man. it hurt me for being honest and speaking up against shit that was wrong and incorrect, or speaking out on people that I didn't see eye to eye with. I didn't play the game. And I was like, part of me was like, yo, I really like feel for this nigga right now, because it's like, hey, that just sucks, man. You're taught your whole life to be honest, to be upfront, to not like be shady,
to be a stand-up guy,
to be a stand-up guy, right? And in the end, that's the shit that does you in, because the way this shit is played is motherfuckers smiling in your face, man. I felt for Bimmy on that shit, man.
Yeah, I mean, shit, man. Bimmy, I like how Kevin Lyles told my man he gonna be working from home, and he already knew what time it was.
Yeah,
I
like that.
Man. Yo, but overall, man, like those dudes, everybody featured on this doc, man, has been lived, like, bro, they've lived some lives.
Yo,
you know what I'm saying?
Trey, real talk, that was the shit for me with the Suns, because my whole career with the Suns, I have been an in-office nigga. I go on scouting trips, I go on the road with the team, but for the most part, I'm in office. Decisions are being made, I'm there. And then my last year, them niggas was like, we want you to be like the exclusive East Coast scout. Niggas sent me to the farthest part of the country. I'm going watching UConn and Syracuse and all that shit. And that's cool. It was fun. I don't mind it. But I also knew at that point in October or whatever, these niggas had sent me out of the office so they could fuck around and so they could make it easier to part ways when the time come. I knew in October that this was my last season in Phoenix. So, like, that shit, like, I knew exactly what you're talking about. When someone tell you, yo, you work away from the office. Everybody else going to be in the office, though. Nah, man.
Yeah, except you.
Except you, yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild.
Yeah, you just made me have a flashback, bro. You made me have a flashback.
That shit happened to you too?
Bro, you made me have a flashback to when I was going on all the NBA stuff. And then all of a sudden it was, nah, you're not doing NBA. You just about to you're gonna work on this sport now. And oh, by the way, you're over on North Campus.
I'm like, there you
North,
go.
North Campus.
North Campus.
Oh man, all right. Okay, I see what time this is.
North Campus. There you go. That's all you need to know right there. North Campus, for those that don't know. ESPN in Bristol actually has two campuses. One is the main campus. That's the one you see where SportsCenter shot, where, you know, His and Hers was shot, where, you know, if they have them, this is SportsCenter commercials with niggas at the cafe or whatever. All that shit's happening at main campus. The main campus is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, probably, Jerry, what is it, a mile up the road? Maybe 2 miles up the road. It ain't far.
That's about a mile, because it's literally like a 30, 40-second ride, like if you take all the back roads.
It's not a walking distance.
Oh, no, you gotta hop in your car, bro. Or take the shuttle.
In the car or in the shuttle, but it's a quick ride once you're in a vehicle. It's North Campus. North Campus has its own cafeteria.
Yep.
And it's got, like, literally this fucking cubicle farm. There ain't no walls or nothing. You just walk in there, and it's just like, as far as I could see, cubicles. And that's where a lot of, like, the behind-the-scenes legal, I think, is in there, and some other, like, real back-of-office type stuff there. And apparently, John Gervais, good Lord. I didn't know they did anything creative out there, man.
Yeah, they had one. There's one sport on that side. There's one.
Yo, they,
and I just happened
they
to
treated
be
you like Jon Snow, my nigga.
Bruh.
They sent that nigga to the wall. Exactly. Exactly.
They sent you to the wall. Said. That's crazy.
Bruh.
Just send my man to the wall, bro.
That was crazy. Yo, it never was. Never was heard from again, brother. Yo, let me ask you this. Did 10 say we get more of Trick? Because I feel like Trick's like super duper, like,
Jerv.
I've heard of Trick, but like he seems super cool to me.
Number one. He is the number one nigga in this documentary. Every time he come on the screen, like, I'm excited to hear what this nigga gonna say, because he's fucking hilarious, man. This nigga's hilarious and got stories, and I feel like there's not
for
enough
days.
I, you know what's funny? I never would have thought going into a documentary, they told me, yo, here's the thing. It's Big U. And he gonna tell you about how that shit started on the West Coast. It's Bimmy and Deb. It's Haitian Jack. and then it's Trick Trick. If you asked me to rank before I watched the second, Trick Trick would have been number five for me.
Yep.
Watching four episodes, that nigga's number one by far. Just because this nigga's hilarious, man. Like, everything this nigga says makes me fucking laugh, man.
So did I ever tell y'all when I met Trick Trick in Detroit?
Y'all bet. No, tell us the Trick Trick.
I need this. I need this.
So, oh man, Rob, I'm gonna need you to bleep a couple of times.
Are we bossing over or just bleeping?
Yeah, just bossing over. Let's bossing over.
Okay, let's bossing over. Okay, here we go. Here comes bossing over. Trick Trick stories with Trey. Go.
All right, so we get to Detroit, and we're out, and they're like, yo, we're going to go to Smack Ass, which is a strip club. So when we go to a strip club, they tell us, go to this one. And it's in 11th Mile. Now, you go, everybody always knows 8th Mile. When you go to 11th Mile, it's hood, like hole in the wall, Smack Ass strip club. We go in, and they give us our section. It's me and like a player, right? It was... They get the hookah. So we're in a strip club. Strippers come. They send the best girls. And you look to the far right. And guess who it is? Trick Trick. I said, that's Trick Trick. I've heard about him.
How'd you know
run this city?
I knew who Trick Trick was. I never knew what he looked like.
I only knew about Trick Trick because of the rap shit. Just because Eminem
okay.
and...
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. That shit. But,
like, but you knew what he looked like, though. That was my thing.
Yeah, I knew what he looked like. But I heard stories. And every certain city you go to, there's an offer of protection, right? You go to LA, you got you. You go to Houston, you got Jay Prince. You know what I mean? So I already knew what time it was. And at that time, said he got some boys to handle. So that's when I put the, they got into it because he said wasn't good enough for the league. And got mad and was like, yeah, I got some niggas in Detroit that'll fuck you up. Nervous at the particular time. I said, don't trip. Yeah. I said, coming to Compton to smoke with Term. I said, he can't come to Compton no more.
Right.
Because I'm going to have somebody fuck him up. You know what I'm saying? Off that strength. So when we first got to Detroit, I said, send him a bottle. You don't know who that is, but you need to send him a bottle. So when we sent him a bottle, he came over and introduced himself. And crazy enough, anytime we went out to that spot, they say that's Trick Trick Peoples. So they never fucked with us, never tried anything crazy in Detroit. But guess what happened? Added Trick Trick to the fucking entourage. So anytime he bringing the niggas that Trick Trick is talking about, his crew to LA.
The squad.
I went to Delilah and Delilah. All the niggas is sitting there. No. And I said, nigga, you got Trick Trick on the road for a Laker game? What?
Jerv.
Nah, Delilah, you niggas is wild. You rolling.
First of all, Delilah might be the size of the room I'm sitting in right now. Delilah is not a big place. They are notoriously stingy at the door. I got into Delilah the night of the ESPYs, I want to say. And it was like complete like accident. One of the managers just happened to be like, the dude at the door was like, sorry, can't do nothing for you. I'm like, really? And then the manager would come out because somebody else had called him. He looked like, oh no, he's good. And he got me in and he got me a free drink and everything. But Delilah's tough, man. That's a tough spot. Not because it's like they just dicking around at the door, because it's so small. And Trey, back me up on this. There's no standing room. It's all tables in there.
And it's no photos. You can't pull your phone out. Mm. Secret society. So the fact that Trick Trick is loud, he's doing what the fuck he wants to do in Delilah. I said, oh, okay. I just went over there. I shook niggas' hands and I kept it moving. And this is when we were doing True Hoop pods. And I came on and I was... Because I forgot what Wendy said. Windhorse said something about him. And I was like, yo... I just seen him with Trick Trick. If you ever go back and listen to the episodes, I was talking about that. But yes, he was running with them for a long time. Yep. Because of that intro.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, cereal was breakfast almost every damn day. I'm talking about 5 to 6 times a week. Cereal was for breakfast. Even when I grew up, I went to college, I was eating cereal for breakfast and for dinner. That's how crazy about cereal I was. I remember my parents used to bring home, sometimes my dad would get the wrong box, the one that was unsweetened, like the regular ass cornflakes or Rice Krispies. And I used to take literally a jar of sugar and just shovel it on top and then pour the milk on there and mix it all up. And at the end, you get this sludge, the sugary sludge. After you're done with cereal, you just sucked it all up and was high off sugar for a whole goddamn day. But, you know, as you get older, you realize that's not right, man. You can't have all this sugar. It's not good for you. But guess what? What if I told you I got a cereal that'll take you back to your childhood that's got all that sweet goodness that you remember and you loved and you cherish with 0 grams of sugar? I'm not lying. 13 to 14 grams of protein, only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, and only 140 calories. It's keto friendly. It's gluten free. It's grain free. It's soy free. Low carb and GMO free. It's Magic Spoon, baby. Get you the variety pack. You got 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. I'm telling you, if you remember your childhood, Toucan Sam, or whatever the hell his name was, it tastes the same. Tony the Tiger, get out of here. It tastes the same. E.T., Reese's looking ass, it tastes the same. I'm cuckoo for it. That weird ass bird that was kind of like a heroin addict, it tastes the same. But no sugar, only 4 grams of carbs, only 140 calories, 13 to 14 grams of protein. What do I tell you guys? I tell you very simply, go to magicspoon.com/BOM, grab the variety pack, try it today, and be sure to use promo code BOM at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product. Listen to this. I want to say it again. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product. It's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Where in life do you get a guarantee for your happiness? That is what these good people at Magic Spoon are doing. They are that confident that you're going to take a spoonful of this, put it in your mouth, and you're going to be like those people in the commercials. Your eyes are going to get wide open, and you're going to smile, and you're going to look at your significant other across the table and go, oh, you know the look I'm talking about. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/BOM and use the code BOM to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon.
So my thing with Trick, right, that I'm hoping we get more from him is because Mayman had a $250,000 bail.
$2 million.
Right? I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did the percentage. He had to put the two to 250 down, whatever, yeah, just to get out, yes, right? He yeah has Eminem getting out. I don't know much about all that, but I know that if your bail is $2 million, it's got to be crazy, right?
It's a first degree murder.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot more there. I feel like there's a lot more there we need to be getting from Trick.
That's an amazing story when he's talking about like meeting Eminem and being like, yeah, this thing, da da da, and the next day, like, where's that white boy at? He's like, oh, he went to L.A. like to meet with Dre. He's like, what the fuck is Dre going to do with this nigga? And then he said, he heard the song.
He said, I get it.
Yeah, but like, that's why I love Trick, because like his stories, everybody else, if you notice, all their stories about how I was the baddest nigga ever and this shit happened.
Yeah, he ain't even incriminated himself. He on the point of just being a good storyteller. He talking about when he went to the prison and he said that shit was a birdcage.
He said that nigga was like, there's a door, and then there's another door, and then another door, and then there's another door, and then inside that shit, it's a birdcage with mad niggas in there. I was like, the way he said that shit, like you said, Trey, that's a storyteller right there. That's a nigga, like, honest to God, man, out of the five people I got a lot of respect for everybody, and they're all very interesting in their own right. But if you told me, I mean, you had one of these motherfuckers you could pick, have one night, y'all go get drinks, and just listen to that nigga talk. Trick Trick by far, man. And I think I'm more kind of enamored because I wouldn't have thought that shit going through.
So I don't fuck with Trick Trick, but I honestly would probably be sitting with Haitian Jack just because I'm more curious about whole...
I don't trust... Like, you know what's funny?
I don't trust Haitian Jack.
I don't trust Haitian Jack. That nigga might rob me at the end.
See, you didn't put that part. You didn't put that part in. Okay, now I got to think about it. Okay, yeah, so Trick Trick might be the nigga that we actually...
Like, Trick Trick, I feel like you're going to tell the story.
He might not be mad, bro. We might drink a six pack of Miller Lights fucking around.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, you could get folded with Trick Trick. I mean, listen, with any one of these individuals, trust me, you say the wrong thing, it could go left really, really bad. But like Trick Trick, he comes off as the dude that you could literally just sit back and have a good time, and you should keep your head on the swivel. But you are all right. Haitian
you're doing
Jack,
that with all these people.
Haitian Jack, I'm sitting with my, no disrespect. I'm facing the door.
Sure. Haitian Jack, and this is how I feel about Haitian Jack. I feel like he would tell me a great story, and the punchline of the story is that, nigga, you just got robbed. you know what I'm saying? Like the whole point of the story, as entertaining as it is so that they're going to rob my ass, right? That's Trick Trick, I feel like, would just tell me a great story, man. As long as I don't do nothing disrespectful, I feel like he wouldn't take it there. And I feel like, Big U and Bimmy and all them too, but they just, their storytelling ain't quite up to par with Trick Trick, man. By the way, Big U, shout out to Big U. I did not know that him and Harry O served time together.
Shout out to Harry O too. He's home now.
Yeah, shout out to Donald Trump for that one. Who would have saw that?
I mean, Bill at the house too, Kodak. The niggas is at the crib.
Who put that word in, by the way?
Actually bringing Harry O home. Listen, Harry O been in jail since I was a little kid, but I've been hearing about Harry O for the longest.
Dog,
so
Harry
the fact that he's home.
Since before Death Row started, right?
That yes. Been... So the idea that, you thinking about Harry O being at the crib, I'll give him about a year before he starts showing his face again and what he got planned. Because he's one of the smartest niggas ever, bro.
That's what he Who said. That's what Big U said. That's what Big O said. Big U said. Big U said.
Big O is funny.
Shout out to Oscar Robertson.
Like, I feel like Big U, I feel like Big U would, like, I just feel like he's so serious. I would just be afraid that, like, not afraid, but I would be worried that, damn, if I say one thing, this man could literally just be like, yo.
Oh, by the way, speaking of based on.
Put them hands up.
How about Big U? Doughboy from Boys in the Hood is based on Big U?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, what?
That's dope that they shot that on the. On that block?
On the block, man.
I like little stuff like that, man.
Me too.
I mean, there's a certain genre of things that I like to know about. And unfortunately, it seems to be all based on the drugs and crime and things like that from like the 80s and 90s. But I really, really appreciate that time, like knowing everything about that time, because it was us. Like, we're the little kids that are growing up and we're seeing the crazy chains and the whatever, the 600s back to back or whatever the case may be in your respected hoods. You know what I mean? And I think Fab's line was, drug dealing was cool. It was the 90s. Don't worry, you had to be there or something like that. Like, it's not cool, but as kids,
yeah,
it was cool.
Well, look, speaking of cool, man, let me transition here to the other thing that we watched this week, which is the Patrice O'Neal documentary on Comedy Central. It's called Killing Is Easy. Now,
that shit was kind of sad, bro.
It was sad because I'm gonna say this. I like Patrice O'Neal. I was a fan of his. Obviously on the roast, he was funny. I remember Elephant in the Room. I remember him on Last Comic Standing, which I'm kind of surprised they didn't mention at all. Because he played the asshole on that show. And obviously all the little cameos and stuff I'd seen other than The Office, I'd seen him in all these shows. So I knew who Patrice O'Neal was. My friend is Andrew Schultz. Andrew Schultz constantly, for years, has said the greatest comic of all time is Patrice O'Neill. And like in my mind, I was like, yeah, because he does the asshole comedy and Schultz likes the asshole comedy, right? Schultz, they have the same kind of style in that way. But I'm like, is he just paying respects to someone who's not with us no more? It's like, does he really think he's better than Pryor or Eddie Murphy or Chappelle or Chris Rock or Lenny Bruce or what's my man? George Carlin. Is he better than them guys? And now after watching that documentary, I have a greater understanding because they always talk about this shit. They talk about shit in rap all the time. Your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. And like when I saw the number of people coming out and talking about him in that way, and also pointing out this nigga was dying to have a documentary about his life, you know, like kind of like little jokes like that.
Yeah.
Like, or what my man says, like, yo, no one else is gonna say this shit because he dead, so you go say nice shit. That nigga was, oh, it's Donnell Rawlings. That nigga was an asshole. Yeah. Now, he was a funny asshole, he was a likable asshole. He was a charismatic asshole, but make no mistake, that nigga was an asshole, right? And so this documentary for me really like helped me understand, oh, that's why them niggas loved him so much. But at the same time, much like what we were talking about earlier with Bimmy, just the idea of, yeah, man, like shit is hard. Like you can't literally be the realest nigga in the room because at some point that shit won't serve you.
Yeah, it reminded me of fucking Keeping It Real Goes Wrong type shit. You know what I mean? Like to a point of like the nigga just really didn't give a fuck. Like the fact that he on set on The Office and just really just like, yo, I can't stand these niggas. You know what I'm saying? Or just being in any particular situation and not really just fucking with it, bro. And like, and it was like, you know, ideally when you think about any of the things, it's just like, what? You know what I mean? It's just sad because he didn't care about the money and he wasn't about to sell out to get the money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he was so talented and so like brutally honest. And that's what you had to love about him because, you know, he gave cold hard truth. And I said it the other day, like, nigga, I like my fucking my comedy uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. Kevin Hart said when he first heard him, he said it was shit that I had to grab my chest. And he's like, shit, yeah, that's shit that normally old people do. But I mean, we can go back to the time, I think it was 2018 or 2019, we went to the fucking comedy store and we got a chance to watch, this was right before Chappelle, right? Yeah. And somebody said a joke and me and you looked at each other like, oh shit. Like, but it was so bad and great that it was damn, you don't get comedy like that no more where you like kind of cringe with it. Like, damn, I can't believe they said that shit.
That's real talk, man. To me, those are my favorite. That's why I like beyond Andrew being my friend. That's why I like Andrew's fucking comedy. Cause the nigga pushes that shit to a place where it's just like, even when I'm on the podcast, you know, it's a funny thing. I'm on their podcast and they fuck with me constantly, like on some disrespectful shit. Like, yo, have you ever felt the need to tell Jemele Hill to just shut the fuck up and go make you a sandwich? Like, and I'm like, you know, that's my homegirl. So I'm like, yo, but I also know in the back of my head, like, I know what they're doing. They're going for like the most uncomfortable place. Like, which is the idea that like every man at some level must believe he knows more about sports than any woman out here, right? And so I'm laughing, but I'm also like worried, like, yo, people are gonna watch this and gonna think I'm fucking co-signing on this shit. Obviously, I'm not. Jemele's a good friend of mine. But also, there's a part of me that understands. They're fucking joking. Their job is to tell fucking jokes. It's all funny. And so I understood the point that his stepdaughter was making when she was saying, like, people would ask her, yo, you hear the shit that he's saying? And she's like, yeah, that's his job. He's fucking telling jokes. He's not like, that's not who he is as a person, which I know to a lot of people, especially in this day and age, they don't want to hear that. They
just don't want to react about everything. Overreact for everything. Yeah. And I think that everything is so serious and just, you know, easy to complain about.
But Trey, here's the thing. Everyone want to overreact, but then there's like a large majority of the motherfuckers that'll say the joke and then get the overreaction, and then they'll come out and like apologize for the joke. Regret the joke, right? And Patrice and Schultze, and there's like a handful of other comics. You tell them that shit, you gas them up a little bit more. That nigga's like, oh, they got mad on this shit. Like he said, like the whole thing with the, he's on stage and he's like, look at this bitch with the serious face right here. Here. And he takes out the money and he gives back the money for her ticket. He said, go leave. You'll get the money if you walk out of here and don't come back. But I hope you have fun somewhere fucking else.
That's like fucking crazy.
That is crazy. And at the same time, it's fucking brilliant, man. It is brilliant. Trey, I know you stepped away. I was just talking about the story about Patrice taking out the money and giving it to the woman who wasn't laughing. Said, here.
Oh, yeah, he's sick. But I mean, that's a mean move, though. You would 100% do that at a live show and would literally be like, yo, you don't like this? Here. How much did you pay for the ticket? Here. And take it and make sure and blah, 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 and send them about their way. And I would
tell you right now, as much as I'd love to be the one to do that shit, there would be an internal fear for me. Like, what if a bunch of these niggas stand up and say they don't like this shit either?
I wish somebody would ask me, do I like this show? If I wasn't laughing and asking how much I paid, I'm not telling you the real price. I didn't pay face value, bro.
Look at you, sick. I like to think that Amin thinks he's hated that much, but it's a lot of motherfuckers that love you, bro. That really will tap in just for you.
I'm constantly terrified that everybody hates and everybody just waiting for me to fuck up. Like that's the shit. Like when the niggas talk about like when he died and all these people were like, da da da, and I was like, yo, actually, you know what it was? It was when Rush Limbaugh died. Rush Limbaugh died, and I saw so many people like line up to shit on that motherfucker. And not that he didn't deserve to be shit on, but that's the first time in my life I ever thought about like, damn, you mean when I die, they're gonna line up to shit on me? Damn, man.
I mean, hey, bro, would you rather have it that way, or did you have everybody say you was a nice guy when it's not true?
I don't want that either. I'd rather like nobody remember me when I die. Like, oh shit, I mean that. Just fuck. And then like,
you got like that. And I'm not saying I'm by no means am I comparing you to Floyd Mayweather by any stretch of the imagination. But I feel like there's two fucking no. I'm making that clear. I'm not comparing you to Floyd Mayweather. Let's make that clear. But there's two types of hate. There's a Floyd Mayweather hate where it's like people hate you, but they can't help but to tune in. Like their hate fuels. And then there's the Adrian Broner hate. Where like motherfuckers just really hate him, like they just don't like him.
That right? Nigga
like,
fighting again? He's still fighting.
He's still fighting.
Listen, man. Get that chicken, man. It's money out here to be made, bro. But
I'm gonna tell you right now, man. No, I'm gonna tell you. Like the only thing.
Live your truth, man. Word to Patrice O'Neal, dog.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. You know,
nah, he's a little too wild.
He a little too wild for you, Jer.
Bruh, you ain't see his post fight interview.
Broner, no, I'm talking about Patrice O'Neal.
I'm talking about Patrice O'Neal.
Oh no, I fuck with Patrice, dog. I'm just saying.
I said, live your truth, though. You know what I'm saying? If you feel, Patrice I just think wild, if people are more honest, I think if people were more honest, it's less judgment, bro.
Yo, Patrice once had a bit about like TSA. They didn't have it in this documentary, but he had a bit where he talked about the TSA, and he said, "I'm not talking about all TSA agents are." Perverts, but you telling me out of all the airports in this country, yeah. There ain't at least one TSA agent who gets off on that shit or filling a nigga up and shit. And ever since that, like I suggest you've been dead 10 years. For 10 years, every time I go to the airport, I'd be looking at the TSA agents. I go, oh, hold on, we gotta patch you down. Like, here we go, that's nigga right here. Like, go ahead, man. All right, I got you. Yo, come out.
Malcolm XXL had me crying too. He's like, I'm not a representation of the, you know, I'm not the leader of the fat people.
All the fat people.
That nigga sick, man. He's sick, bro. And he was like, I like the idea that he didn't stick with that same joke and ride it out. He just never wanted to be remembered by one joke. And I liked how he bullied Kevin Hart. Like, Yo, basically built the skin. You know what I mean?
Kevin Hart said, like, he got up on stage and there's five people, and he said the jokes wasn't hitting, and then he hears it in the background. Ugh.
that grunt was crazy.
That the most deflating shit in the world to hear a nigga go, ugh. And that nigga was the doorman. That's the funny thing. I didn't know that shit, too.
Yeah, wait, niggas followed by phone books. Niggas threw a phone book at him and said, call somebody, bro, because this ain't for you.
Anybody. Sick. Anybody in this phone book right here.
Now look at fucking Kevin Hart, dog.
That's
like,
crazy.
If you got a type of person like that to push you and just kind of motivate you, because, I mean, nigga, Patrice O'Neal's telling you the harsh truth and scaring your ass off the stage.
Here's the crazy thing. Colin Quinn, Dennis Leary, Kevin Hart, Bill Burr, like Craig Robinson. Like, these are all people. Fuck, even Jim Norton, man, has had some shit pop off for him. Movie roles, all, et cetera, et cetera. All motherfuckers that was around this dude all the time. Yeah. And like, they all blew up, and he really didn't. The other thing was the whole, I never knew that the Colin Quinn show, what's it called? Tough Crowd. Tough Crowd. It was all based on their bullshit ass, like, bullshit post show.
Post comedy show. Yeah. Low banter that they would do.
The banter, yeah. The motherfuckers made a show out of that shit. Like, I thought it was actually like a show about politics and we're going to have comedians talk about it. I didn't realize, no, it's these niggas used to hang out together and that's where we're at with this shit. So that was dope to find out. By the way, apparently Snoop was the one that got Harry O out.
Shout outs to Uncle Snoop.
Yeah, shit.
And
is he ever going to stop wearing that doggy style jacket?
No.
Nope.
No. Like, no.
Every Snoop appearance I've seen.
He wears anything that has himself on it.
But hold on. Over the last like 8 months, every single public appearance he's made has been wearing that jacket. It could be summertime. It could be wintertime. It could be snow on the ground. It could be like 99 degrees. That nigga's wearing that jacket no matter what.
Shout out to Uncle Snoop. Sick.
It's a dope jacket, though.
Shout out to Uncle Snoop. Snoop Dogg's my favorite uncle, man.
Trey, I know you got to run. One last thing before you do, because it slipped into the chat right before we... Oh, shit. All right, word. Never mind. Well, let's end it right here, then. That's a nice, solid ending. Four. Wow. That Bossa Nova is so toxic, I literally just had to end the show. We can't even put music over it for risk of some shit going wrong. For Black Trey, for Big Jerv, for Rob Lopez on the 1 and 2s, this has been Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. Peace out. Yo, Rob.
Yo, Amin.
What's the biggest complaint I always have whenever we record these podcasts?
Besides Jerv being too sleepy, I think it's you forget to name a couple things. You always want to talk about some extra stuff.
Oh, man. It's the worst feeling in the world. When we get done and we say cut and I'm sending the files to Rob and I say, shit, I forgot we were going to talk about this topic or that topic. Well, guess what? We're not going to have those problems anymore if you go ahead and download the Stereo app. That's right. Go to stereo.com/DarthAmin and make sure you are linked and subscribe to us. And we're going to talk about all of the different things that I always forget about. This is a great app. Every time you guys are listening to this pod, you say, oh, I wish I could chime in. But you're listening to a pod. You can never chime in. It's pre-recorded. Guess what? With Stereo, you're able to have your voice heard. You can ask real-time questions about either the pod episode we recorded or whatever we're talking about at the time. It's great. It's a forum for you to listen to your favorite podcasters. That'll be me and yours truly, all at the Count the Things Network. And we're going to be out here. We're going to do this regularly, multiple times a week. Just hop on Stereo, download the app, subscribe, follow Darth Amin, follow Talk Hoops, follow Trayvon, follow Big Waz, all of us. You know who we are. You search for us on the Stereo app. You will find us and subscribe to us and be a part of these conversations real time. Have the ability to ask the questions that you want to ask. Stop us when we're on some bullshit, as we are frequently. And of course, catch some content that goes above and beyond what you listen to in the podcast you already love. Again, that is the Stereo app. And you can follow me, stereo.com/Darth Amin. You can look up everybody else by their handles. Their handles are all the same as what we have on social media. You can join us multiple times a week. I love Stereo. I'm on the app talking all the time. Follow me and get notified every time I go live.